Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi. We are now going to cover the chapter Sourcing Methodology and Process. So what are the learning objectives? It's basically to understand the strategic global sourcing process, the global procurement cycle, understand the various procurement methods, focus on procurement through tendering process, understand the supplier selection and evaluation process, understand the methods of supplier development in global procurement, understanding the methods to enter into a formal contract with a supplier, a global sourcing perspective, understand various global sourcing models which are there, and understanding the use of free trade zones in global sourcing. The structure is, we will have the introduction to strategic global sourcing process, the global procurement cycle, procurement methods with special focus on projects procurement and purchasing through tendering process, supplier selection and evaluation process, suppliers evaluation criteria, supplier development in global procurement, entering into a formal contract with supplier, which again, you know, it will be a global sourcing perspective, global sourcing models, impact of Brexit on global supply chain, procurement and outsourced manufacturing, and use of free trade zones in global sourcing. So, what are the key activities of strategic sourcing process? Developing the profile of a category or nature of purchases which is required. The second is define appropriate sourcing strategy for each of the type of product or service category, generation of a supplier portfolio, select appropriate implementation path, negotiation and selection of suppliers or vendors, integration of the supplier into the business, benchmarking supplier markets, and periodic review. So we'll start with the first, which is analysis of the spend, which is part of this development of profile of category or nature of purchase. So information related to the total spending of vendor can be sought from the accounts payable department. Not necessarily only accounts payable department, from the ERP system, you can get the total spend for the category and within the category, the total spend for various vendors. Existing contracts with the vendors needs to be reviewed to estimate the spend in terms of dollar amounts, location, number of users, and volume of usage, pricing terms and conditions, and which sources are used most heavily. So in a global procurement, you know, when you have a category, you have a number of suppliers, and you have number of locations or units where you are using this. And everywhere you will find that you have different terms in terms of the prices, in terms of the volume, in terms of payment terms, other commercial terms that you have. And all this information is available, which we will see how we can make use of. Interview key current users to develop a thorough understanding of their needs. So to optimize, you will actually need to match what's available with the actual needs of the users, because we do not want to over design the offering. Seek the user's view on supplier's performance and any enhancements that they would like to see in the product or the services. So it's important to actually evaluate what is the current supplier's performance. Are the users really happy with the performance? What are the improvements that they would like to have in order to, you know, improve upon their performance, the deliverables that they have. So coming to the supplier market analysis, understand the external supply market in which the supplier operates and the market pressures the supplier faces. So assuming that it's a free market and then there are a lot of people who are able to supply the same material. So here we are looking at what is the kind of pressure or what is the kind of edge or USP that the supplier has in the market, or what are the disadvantages that he has compared to the other peers who are in the same space. Evaluate what is the current competitive situation, are the providers under cost pressure, competitive pressures, technology pressure. Because when you have a number of people who are capable of supplying similar kind of a product, not everyone will be equal. Somebody may be under pressure for, you know, working capital. Some people may be losing out, you know, on the price, on the due to competitive pressures. Somebody may be under technology pressure because, you know, everyone is operating with different kind of technologies. So someone has upgraded the technology. Now, obviously, the person who has upgraded the technology is also under a pressure to utilize his capacities, because if he has made a fresh investment, capital investment into new equipment, etc., he will certainly look at flogging the equipment. Understand what other suppliers could supply either the same products or service or nearly so. So sometimes it may so happen that because of the technological differences, somebody may be supplying a superior product and someone may be supplying a product which may be not exactly to those exacting standards as a person with a better technology can do. But many a times you need to actually look at what exactly is your requirement. Are you really looking for something that the best of suppliers are offering, or your requirements can be met by less exacting specifications? So assess what are the trends in the relevant product or service industry. So trends in terms of the services they offer, the services that they bundle together, and the kind of commercial terms that they are offering. So this needs to be known, which will help you actually in the negotiation process. Check what insights are available into the value chain, suppliers cost, structure and pricing. So things like, you know, are the suppliers backward integrated? Now, obviously, the supplier who is backward integrated, he has a benefit. Benefit in terms of availability of the material, benefit in terms of profitability. So you can, negotiate better with a supplier who is backward integrated. So it's important to know, how is the value chain of your supplier? What is his cost structure? Because ultimately, it helps to know what is his cost of actually making or producing or manufacturing the goods that you are proposing to buy from him. And the pricing would obviously depend upon that. So what is the selection of appropriate sourcing strategy? Now, we have four sourcing strategies depending upon, as you can see here, you have the business impact and you have the supply market complexity. So business impact is basically the spend that you have. If the product is very critical, it's crucial for the business, then it has a high business impact. But if the product is not a core product, not a product which is having a very high business spend, it's got a business spend which is negligible, then it has got a low impact. Likewise, the supply market complexity. So it's a very simple product. It's a product like a commodity. Then the supply complexity or the supply market complexity is very, very low. But it's a very high-tech product. It's a highly specialized product employing some special technology. It has got intellectual property. It's a patented thing. Then the supply market complexity is high. So let's start looking at the business impact where it is high and the supply market complexity is also high. So what would be the characteristics of this kind of a product? So the strategic characteristics are, there are no true substitutes. Now, there could be no substitute because it's a patented technology, or there is a intellectual property which is only held by this company. Technology is not available to other people. And usually this kind of items will be a single source item, right? high product differentiation. So the product offers a very high differentiation, high USP. It offers high benefits to the end user, and it's key to the core business. So let us say that it forms a key component of your end product. So what would be the product, approach in this case? Ensure availability of the supply, because see, it's a key component of your product. And if you don't get this product, then you cannot make your product or you cannot assemble your product. So this supplier is going to decide your capacity. So you need to ensure the availability of the supply, because that will drive your capacity. Focus on relationship building, process integration, and innovation. So you need to improve the collaboration with the supplier. You need to focus on improving your intimacy or relationship with the supplier. You need to integrate the process to ensure that there are no interruptions to your process. Coming to the next category, we come to, again, the high business impact, but here we come to the low, the supply market complexity is low. So here we come to the leverage characteristics. And what are these characteristics? It's a highly competitive market. Let's say you are talking of things like a fastener or something that, you know, there are many people who are, willing to supply. But your expenditure is very high. That means your spend, your procurement spend is very high here. This is a commodity type of a product. So that means it's not a product which involves high technology or patented technology, and only a few people can supply. So a lot of people can supply. So what should be your approach here? Use competitive marketplace to reduce the total cost. Basically, you are generating a competition between the suppliers so that they reduce the cost and they offer the lowest possible cost to you. Consolidate volumes as a negotiation tool. So when you are negotiating, don't try to have too many suppliers. Try to have few suppliers or a single supplier and consolidate the requirement so that the volumes are big and they are an incentive for the supplier. Because even when you're negotiating, if the volumes are not interesting to the vendor, they may not really participate or they may not give you really the best price that they can offer. So consolidating the volume will actually get you benefit. Coming to the third category, and that is the bottleneck characteristic, where the business impact is low, but supply market complexity is high. So again, here we are talking of a product where IP may be involved. It involves high technology for manufacture, etc. But business impact is low. That means your expenditure is low. This is not a core product. So typically, what are the characteristics? No true substitute, that we already said that this is a high technology product. Usually, again, single source, as we saw in the top case. But here, it's not core to the business. Lack of availability will cause problem. So although it's not core to the business, this is a necessity. You require this product. So what is the approach you will take in this kind of a case? Search for alternatives and strengthen the relationship. So as long as you don't have alternate source, you need to actually strengthen the relationship and ensure that you continue to get the material. And the last category, we come to the non-critical characteristics. Now here, the business impact is low and the supply market complexity is also low. What does it mean? Low expenditure levels, small percentage of your total spend, small percentage of your total expenditure, and not key to the core business. It's a commodity kind of a product. So here the approach should be simplify and streamline the purchasing process. Don't have too many vendors. You can standardize the product, have a very simple process, not very elaborate process of, you know, bidding and things like that. Reduce the number of suppliers and simplify your ordering. Okay? So, factors impacting sourcing strategy. And we are now going to look at the various factors, starting with volume concentration. Consolidate the number of suppliers. Many companies, you know, have a large number of suppliers or vendors, because they feel that if one fails, then the second one should be there and the third one should be there. It's nice to have a sole supplier and a standby supplier, and you can distribute the business between them in such a way that you have 60 or 70% business with one and 30% with the other. In the case of any eventuality, you can always have the second vendor take on the metal and you know, supply the material. So consolidate the number of suppliers basically is to reduce the number of suppliers that you have. Aggregate volumes across the units. So let us say that within the country you have got three manufacturing sites. Now each of the units requires certain common components, right? And you need to aggregate these volumes. That means if you can negotiate the aggregated volume. The problem is, the more you aggregate the volume, the higher is the volume that you negotiate, the better is the price that you will get, or better terms is what you will be able to negotiate. So do not try to break it into different units and try to buy it from different people. Try to aggregate and then you know, negotiate. Redistribute the volume among the suppliers. So once you have aggregated, once you have reduced the number of suppliers based on their performance, based on the price, based on, you know, the technology that they adopt, etc., and the capability. The second is aggregation of the volume. So once you've done this, then you have finalized the contract, you redistribute the volume among the suppliers. So like I said, you can have two suppliers where you have 60% or 70% business with, you know, the supplier where you have the major advantage, and then you have the second best where you can have 30 to 40% of the business. The best price evaluation. So compare the total cost, and we already talked about the total cost of ownership. I forgot to give the example there, but when you're looking at the total cost of ownership, we took the example of the hardware and the software, but in real life, just take the example of Razer. Generally, you will find that big corporates, big companies, big brands who are actually marketing the razors, they will sell you the razor with a single blade at a very, very you know, affordable price. When you try to buy the riffle, the replacement blades, you'll find that they charge you a bomb. So this is, you know, the optical price of the razor will be very low. But when you look at the operating cost, that means when you have to refill your blades, you will find that they are charging you a bomb. Similar case is your inkjet printers. You will find that the printers are priced very competitively. They cost very little, but you will find that they are making the money not by selling the printer, but by selling you the ink. And every printer has a very unique kind of a ink refill or the ink tank, which means that you have to buy it only from them, and they will make money on that refill. Even now, some people are employing the technology that if you try to refill the refill pack, then it will not work. It is made in such a way that the refill, you know, will, once it is tempered, will not be recognized as the original, you know, OEM part. So look at the total cost of ownership and not just the landed cost or the optical price. Model what should be the should be cost. So how do you do that? You look at what are the major inputs which go into the product, what is the manufacturing cost, what are the various other overheads that the manufacturer has, many a times you can find this information from the balance sheet or the financial statement of the company. So you can find out what actually should be the cost of the company and what should be the fair margin that the company should be making on the product. So you can also arrive at what should be the cost or what should be the price. Renegotiate the prices. So once you have done this, you can renegotiate the prices with your suppliers. And many a times it makes sense to, you know, even break down the cost components and then negotiate the price. Unbundle the prices. So many a times you are getting a product where a bundle is offered. So simple thing, I mean, you go to McDonald's and they will give you a value meal, which has a lot of things put into it, right? This is what we call as a bundling. Now in industry, how this works. So when you go and buy a car, they will give you a car, they will give you certain accessories, they will also give you extended warranty, etc. By doing so, many a times they are inflating the sale value. So the best thing to do is you look at each component, and when you unbundle, you basically ask them, what if I don't take this, or what if I take this separately? That means I want a car without these accessories, and what will it cost me if I bought this accessory separately, or what if I bought the extended warranty separately, or on-road service separately? And that is one way you can actually break up the cost. Even in reality, it works like this. Many a times when you are importing something by air, the air freight which is being charged by the companies will be quite high. The actual air freight may be, let's say, X amount, but they will be charging you X plus delta X. So what do you do there? Instead of negotiating a price which is CIP, that means which is delivered to the destination airport, you basically try and find out what will be the price if you took it on FOB or on FCA basis. So this is another kind of unbundling where you can break down the price and you know exactly how much they are charging you for the air freight. Could be you have an agent who will be willing to offer you air freight at a cheaper cost. If that is the case, you can always say that fine, you offer me FCA or FOB price. My agent will then book the material on a flight and I can bring it to the destination airport. Hold an online auction. So this is another way you can generate competition, and we also call it the reverse auction, because normally in an auction, when you sell something, the highest bidder actually gets the object which is being auctioned. In reverse auction, the sellers are actually bidding, and the lowest bidder will actually get the larger pie from the cake. Mind you, you need to pre-qualify this beforehand, because it's not price alone. So you have already pre-qualified the people who are bidding online for quality, for the ability to supply and meet the specifications. Global sourcing. Expand the geographic supply base. So, don't restrict yourself to only the neighboring countries. Sometimes, there are countries which have got an inherent advantage because of the raw material, etc. Or basically, it is a strength. Like, for example, Japan actually buys the iron ore from India, but they have specialized in the area of steels, right? So if you had to go and buy steel, you should certainly consider Japan as one of the sources. So you have to look at the countries or the geographical locations which have either backward integration or they have an inherent strength or advantage there. Develop new suppliers. So don't stick to just the few suppliers that you have been working with. There are new suppliers coming up every day, new companies coming up every day. Try to look for new suppliers. You also need to generate competition amongst your existing supplier also. not necessary that you will be switching to a new supplier, but when you generate the competition, you will have, I remember one incident where we were buying a product which was a very, very specialized product, and it was a very critical or a core product for one of our finished product. Supplier knew this and they were not willing to, bring the prices down. And they were of the opinion that we had no options but to buy it from them. We managed to locate another supplier. Not only that, the other supplier offered the material in bulk packing, which means, the material would be in a single carton, each carton weighing 1 ton on a single pallet. The moment we developed the other supplier for the same material, we found the first supplier came down and renegotiated the prices, and we were able to bring down the prices quite substantially. So you need to be constantly on the lookout for new suppliers to also generate competition to your existing suppliers or vendors. Exploit the global supply-demand imbalances. So it may so happen that you are already buying from a country where there is a very high demand and the supplies are limited, the prices are going to be high. Try and look for other countries where the supply situation is very easy and the demand is low. Maybe you will be able to strike a better deal. So these supply demand equations, and you can do this simultaneously. So whenever in difficult times you find that your existing supplier is unable to supply you because of the supply demand imbalances, having two or three sources helps you to quickly switch. And if they are pre-qualified, you don't have to go through the entire development process. So what are the factors impacting sourcing strategy and coming to the specification improvement? So conduct product value analysis. Now, value analysis is very important because many a times at the design stage, certain specifications are put forth. Those specifications, stringent specifications, may actually not be necessary. Also, there could be substantial savings which can be incorporated in the product by making minor changes which will not affect the efficacy of your product. So value analysis is constantly needs to be done. This, you can see it very visible in the automobile industry. There was a time when cars were made entirely out of steel. Today, if you see, over a period of time, a lot of components in the car have been switched to plastics, engineering plastics. And this has helped them not only in terms of cost, but also in terms of the weight of the vehicle, which actually helps you improve the performance in terms of mileage, etc. So value analysis is something which is an ongoing process. Optimize the life cycle costs. Also, what is the life cycle that you have designed for a product? The Japanese call it the built-in obsolescence. The Germans built cars which would last a lifetime. But the Japanese said, how many people use a car beyond 5 years or beyond 10 years? Like in a place like US, people are changing their cars every 5 years. So they said, why should we make a car which will last for 10 years or 15 years or 20 years? So they have optimized the life cycle of the product. The product will not last beyond a certain time. So if you are going to use a car which is 10 year old, you will find that every day some component or the other will wear out or it will fail. But that way you are optimizing the total cost. You are not over engineering the product. The third point is rationalize standardized specification. So if you have too many specifications, too many different components, let us say that you have fasteners, bolts, nuts, screws, and you have a lot of variety. Can you standardize them? Can you use the same in multiple locations rather than having minor differences between them? Because it will also help you to consolidate and propose a volume. as we saw in the previous chapters or in previous topics, that any difference, any change in specification will make it a different SKU. So here we are talking of standardizing it and reducing the number of components. If you look at a car, again, I give the example of automobiles because that is the easiest example to give. You will find a lot of your nut bolts and everything will be of the same size. So the toolkit which comes with the car with two or three spanners, with that you will be able to open or operate most of the fasteners. That is standardization. Substitute material. So we already saw how you can substitute, steel with plastics. You can substitute similarly if you are using some very specialized material. Can you use material which are more commonly available, more easily available? And that way you can actually, improve upon the specifications, improve upon the availability, make your product less complex and more easier to procure in the market. Thank you.